Your Bible with you, you can open to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. If you don't have a Bible, you should have some on the back table, or pull out your phone, use an app, something like that. Whatever is best for you. I'm going to read our verse, chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. I'm going to read it. We're going to pray. We'll just jump into it. So Paul says, verse 17, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power." Let's pray. Father, what a fitting verse for a preacher who's about to preach the gospel. And because of this verse, I'm going to ask you, Lord, on my behalf, that you would not give me eloquence, but that you would give me accuracy with your words. And I pray that those accurate gospel words would transform lives tremendously. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever been asked by a friend to help them move? And then they're like, "Yeah, you know, we'll have everything packed up. Just need help moving some boxes." And you know that feeling you get when someone asks you to help them move, you know? Well, see, maybe I should just be totally honest with you guys. The gift of serving is not profound in me. Okay, I love to serve in certain ways, but I don't like moving large objects. I think a lot of people might feel that way. But I know there are certain men here who, like, particularly men who are like, love to do that. So I don't want to pretend like everyone doesn't like doing it, but you know that feeling you get? Someone wants you to help, wants your help moving, and then you get there to their house, and you realize they don't actually need help moving. They need help packing. And you're like, "Oh, we're doing that, huh? So I didn't realize that you actually don't have anything in boxes. I thought I'd be moving boxes into vehicles, and now I'm moving material into boxes before I can move boxes into vehicles." So kind of like, that's not why I came, but I'll do it. So that's kind of like Paul's attitude at Corinth. He's like, when he talks in verse 17, "Christ did not send me to preach." I'm sorry, rewind. "Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel." It's like Paul should have been like, "Well, you know, this isn't the primary reason I'm here, but it's part of why I'm here." Like, packing material is part of the moving process. That's not the primary reason I was called here, but I will do it. And Paul's focus is this purpose. This is the apostle's purpose, to preach the gospel. Okay, so let's just solidify that in our minds, because this is huge. This is the foundation of the Christian faith, the foundation of everything that we believe and preach is this gospel message. Remember what we said last week about the gospel, that God is the gospel, the message of salvation. The good news is God. And gospel means good news. So we often take the word gospel and we apply it to Jesus lived a perfect life, died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose from the grave, and we call that the gospel. Well, absolutely that's the gospel. But the gospel is the good news. Find a verse in here that is not good news. This whole book is the gospel, because this whole book is John 1:1, the Word, which is Christ. Christ is the good news. Christ is the Word. The Word is the good news. This is the gospel. Jesus is the gospel. God is the gospel. The good news is you can have Him. That's the message. Okay, so that's the gospel that Paul came to preach. So Paul, if Paul says, "I came to preach the gospel," and then you look at everything Paul said in the book of Acts, And what you find in Acts is not just Paul saying over and over, Jesus died for your sins. Jesus died for your sins. He has a lot of different forms of sermon. So, and he says, I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. So this entirety, this whole book in your hands is the gospel. That's the good news. And that's what Paul came to preach. Now, Romans 15:20. Okay, if you have your Bible open to 1 Corinthians, flip backwards one page. That's all you got to do is flip back one page. And you're in Romans 15:20. Probably, maybe two pages, depending on your version, the kind of Bible you have. You go back to Romans 15:20. Paul says this. He gives us more details. This is Paul's purpose. This is his calling. He says, my call is to preach the gospel. Romans 15, as he says in verse 17. So 1 Corinthians 1:17, my purpose is to preach the gospel. Romans 15:20, Paul gives us more details about the calling, his calling to preach the gospel. He says, I make it my ambition to preach the gospel. So there we have the same declaration that he made in 1 Corinthians 1:17, that Paul's calling is to preach the gospel. And then he modifies his calling by specifying exactly where he desires to preach that gospel. So Romans 15:20 gives us a little insight into this calling. So 1 Corinthians 1:17, this is my call to preach the gospel. Romans 15:20, we get a little clarity. Exactly what about the gospel do you, what is your ambition within that gospel call, Paul? And it is, in verse 20, he says, I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. So his calling to preach the gospel is specific. He wants to preach the gospel in places that have never heard it. He wants to reach the unreached. That's his goal. That's his ambition. That's his drive. That's his purpose. So Paul did just that. He did that. He preached the gospel in several cities, planted churches, established leadership, and then left and went and planted somewhere else where the gospel was unheard. Can I just plug church planting for a second? We should be planting churches. And to plant a church, you have to reproduce. Right? Why would we want to plant churches? Is it so that, I mean, what is the point of the church? And there's, I guess there's a lot of ways to answer that, but shouldn't we be a group of people who collectively in unity build each other up, stir each other to love and good works, and then send each other out to produce growth, to share the gospel with lost people? That there are slaves enslaved to sin, and according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, they're blind to it. And they don't see it because nobody's walking up to them and going, may I remove that blindfold, please? Because we think if I ask you to remove the blindfold, they're going to say, no, I like the blindfold. I want to plant churches. Like, for no other reason than simply multiplying the kingdom. Now, do we have to plant churches to multiply the kingdom? No. But let me just give you some realistic insight into Grace Church. I would love to see more numerical growth here. Now, you've heard me say a bunch of times, it's not about numbers, it's not about people being here. It's definitely not. Numerical growth is the product of spiritual growth. Now, that's not always true. I'll tell you why. Most of the time, when we grow numerically, we are collecting people from other places. People, Christians, who already believe that Jesus is their Lord, who believe that Jesus died on the cross for sins and rose from the grave. They believe that in faith, and they're saved, and they've already been in a church. In fact, they have been Christians for 40 years, or maybe just 5 years, or whatever. But they were somewhere else, and they're visiting, coming to our church, because they want to, looking for a new church, or maybe they move, they're new to the area. Good reasons. I love people like that. Yes, welcome in. We love you. We want to build a church here. Absolutely. We're building a church. That's not kingdom growth. It's just not kingdom growth. So you can have numerical growth. That's not kingdom growth. We are not multiplying the kingdom. We are not going into the mission field, preaching the gospel to slaves, to the lost, the people who are blind to the gospel truth, and they are not believing because they're not hearing it, and they're not hearing it because we're not saying it. So this is not just, oh, all right, this is Pastor Mark's, you know, evangelical, go get them, guys, go preach the gospel and do some evangelism. Man, if it takes me yelling that to you, then we got deeper issues. So I'm not going to rely on some chant for evangelism so that we would be a church that goes out today and starts saving people. I want that. But if it takes a sermon for me to yell it, I want it to be more than just you get motivated by my encouragement today and then you do it for a day or two and then you lose gusto, you lose momentum and zeal because the source of your zeal was my shouting and not a passion in your heart for lost people. And a passion in your heart for lost people comes from a passion for Jesus Christ and his church. He didn't say, Peter, on you, I will bring as many Jews to the synagogue as possible so that it looks like I have a church. That was not his promise. His promise was, Peter, on you, I will multiply. He uses the word build. I will multiply the kingdom. We, and maybe there's some of you who are very evangelical, like you like to share the gospel with people, and you do that regularly, and I just don't know about it. If that's you, praise God for your heart. But from what I know, we are not an evangelical church. Meaning, what I mean by that is, we don't do a lot of evangelism. And what happens then is, people don't get saved. And when people don't get saved, the church doesn't grow. So when I say I want to see numerical growth, I'm not saying I want lots of people here so they can listen to me preach or they can give the church money or blah, 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 whatever those lame reasons are. They're not lame, they're biblical reasons, but they're not the primary reason. I want lost people to get saved. I really do. But here's the thing. I'm your shepherd. I'm your pastor. Like, my biggest concern is not just that people who don't know Jesus would know that he lived a perfect life that they can't live and died the death that we deserve to die, took our place on the cross, absorbed the wrath of God for our sin, and died in our place and was buried and buried that sin and rose from the grave and conquered sin by leaving it buried in the grave and conquered death by rising from death and lives eternally now and offers them, lost people, slaves, the free gift of eternal life if they would just believe. And that's it. That's all we have to go and tell them. Just believe. All you have to do is believe. Here's the message. Believe it. So that's what they need, and I want them to have it. And I love to see lost people come to know Jesus, but you, we are a church, a unit, a body. We are one in Christ, and locally we are one in congregation. So I don't just want lost people to be saved. I want you to want lost people to be saved. If I want my son to go to a good college and get a good degree, I could just cheat. I could be like, hey, son, let's find a way to cheat the system and get A's all across the board. No one will ever know. Who cares how we get there? Is that what I want for him? No. I want him to want good grades. I want him to do what it takes to get there. I want him to grow and learn. So the goal is not all that matters to me. How we get there matters. Paul wanted to reach unreached people, according to Romans 15:20. I want you to want to reach unreached people. If that means that one-fifth of this church decides they want to go on missions full-time, we will send you. And then another fifth of this church wants to go plant another church, we will send you. And then another fifth of this church wants to go plant another church, we will send you. We've only got two-fifths left. What are we going to do? Well, another fifth wants to go on another mission, we'll send you. And the last fifth, we don't know what we want to do. Do we want to stay or do we want to go multiply somewhere else? I don't know and I don't care what happens. But if that would be kingdom growth. And it is better than plateauing. Numbers mean nothing to me. But they do reveal the health of the church sometimes. I want to plant churches. Like thousands of them. I'm not kidding. I'm not just being exaggerated. I want to plant so many churches. And I want you to be part of it. We want to send people who don't know Jesus because they just found out who Jesus was. Because you just told them. And then they're like, okay, now what? And you're like, go to church. Come to my church. Come to my small group. Come to my small group. Come to my house. Let's do Bible study together. Let me teach you. Let me spend an hour with you every week. Let me, I don't know, whatever. And let's grow together. And then find out what your calling is, which we're going to get to in a second. Find out what your calling is. And then find an ambition within your calling. And then go get it. Man, have you ever been in a church that has new believers in it? You almost don't even want to be around them. Because they're so jacked up for the Lord. You're like, whoa, your zeal is like overwhelming, but it's so contagious. They're so on fire for Jesus because it's so new and fresh. Those are the people you send out to do awesome things for God. And churches that don't have fresh blood, you know, fresh new believers who just found Christ for the first time, they get old, and boring, and stagnant. You know why they get old and boring and stagnant? Not because the believers themselves are old and boring and stagnant. That's not why. It's because for a church to not reproduce the kingdom of God, it has to be old and boring and stagnant. I want to plant churches. I hope you're on board. I want... Guys, there are 2,500 people in this town. There are, I don't know what, 1,500 in Dresser. 2,000 in St. Croix Falls. I don't know how many are in Balsam Lake. 2,000? I don't know. How many in Taylor's Falls? How many people are in Taylor's Falls? Anyone know? 1,000. How much? We're like 10,000 people. 10,000 people. So when I say something to you like, let's plant a church in St. Croix Falls. I heard that once. You know what I said? Whoa. Plant a church in St. Croix Falls. Why would we plant a church in St. Croix Falls? Half of our people live in St. Croix Falls. Why don't we just be the church that serves St. Croix Falls? Because there's 10,000 people who need Jesus. Maybe, okay, so 15% of America, I got that number right, by the way, 15% of America goes to church. That means 85% doesn't. So 85% of 10,000, I don't know the numbers, 8,500, right? Okay. You can double check my math. I would understand. 8,500 people who need Jesus, if not more. That's a rough estimate. We need churches. Glenn Hirschberger stood up here a month ago, and he's the church planning guru guy for Converge. You know what he said? You should have a church for every 200 people in your community. Good Bible-based churches. You know how many good Bible-based churches are in the town of 2,000? Less than a handful. There should be 100 good Bible churches in Osceola. Even if, that's a lot, sounds like a lot, right? If they're home churches, I don't care. The body growing, that's what we want to see. And it's just not happening. It's not just Grace Church. It's not just not happening here. It's not happening in the kingdom of God in Osceola. I do not mean to imply God is not at work. He will build his church. End of discussion. But you want to know where multiplication is happening? Africa. Azerbaijan. China. The Middle East. Where people are dying and being murdered in droves. In slavery, real life slavery, until some Christian comes along and goes, I have life for you. Because the missionaries there see the desperation that is needed in the people and they address it with the gospel message. That's Paul's mission. Converge. If you don't know what Converge is, it is our denomination. That's the name of our denomination, Converge. Okay, it's worldwide. It has little, regions, thank you. Little regions, and each little region has its own name. We're the Great Lakes region. It's like Wisconsin and the UP, Michigan, and parts of Illinois, and I think a little bit of Illinois, I'm not quite sure. Anyways, that's our region, the Great Lakes region, Converge Great Lakes, that's who we are. We're part of Converge Worldwide. It's just a denomination. We are the biggest church planting organization in the world. So if the biggest church planting organization in the world, let me give you one more statistic. Converge has a 90% success rate in church planting. Let me ask you this. You're the coach of an NBA team, and you've got a handful of guys to shoot the game-winning, championship game-winning free throws. It's tied. He just has to make one. You've got one guy who's 50% free throw shooter. You've got another guy who's a 75% free throw shooter. And you've got another guy who's a 90% free throw shooter. Who are you going to pick? That's a no-brainer. The guy who shoots 90%. He's probably going to make this free throw. It's a good bet. It's a good investment. Converge is successful at planting churches. And right now, I'll give you a little more clarity. I was not planning on telling you guys any of this, but I am, so here we go. Part of Converge is that we've got these things called lead teams, and it's a bunch of pastors. So I'm in a lead team. I'm in like this, it's called the West lead team. It's me and a bunch of pastors from our local area who are all Converge pastors at their own Converge churches. We gather up and we want to plant churches. And we have two church plants in action right now. We've got no one to plant them. We don't have a person to plant these churches, but we've got two places we want to plant churches. Number one, St. Croix Falls. Number two, Barron. There's a Somali population in Barron that is overwhelming. We want to reach them. St. Croix Falls has a very unique culture. It is the hub of the valley. It is desperate for Jesus. There are a couple good Bible churches there. And if our solution to lost people in the valley is, well, there's a couple good churches, why don't they just go there? They don't want to go there. And if that is your attitude, why don't they, those who don't know Jesus, just go to church? Why wouldn't they go to church? Why would they go to church? So then your response is, Pastor Mark, but then why would we build a church? Why would we plant a church in a place if you're telling me they don't want to go to church? Because church planting isn't just showing up, building a giant building, putting seats, and saying, man, I hope they come this week. That's not church planting. That's Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. That's not a reality in the church. Church planting is God calling one man to go to St. Croix Falls and build the kingdom. And he takes a team with him, and we send a launch team with this man to not buy a building and then put chairs out and say, hey, we're having service on Sunday. I hope you guys show up. It is calling, God calling a man and his launch team to go to this city and to invest his life and his wife and his children into the kingdom of God. He will sacrifice it all to build the church. That takes a very unique and special man for God to call. That is what I want to see built. That was Paul's ambition. That is my heart, to build churches, not just in places that are unreached. Yes, I want to see missionaries. I would, if you came up to me and said, Pastor Mark, I don't want to plant a church, but I feel like God is calling me to reach unreached people just like Paul, I'm going to go, sweet, let's go talk to Holly Olson, who has a great grasp on the Gospel Project, and she knows who's unreached in the Joshua Project, and then we're going to find the right place for you, and we're going to send you overseas if you want to go, if you're called to go. Maybe you're called to plant churches, men. Wives, maybe you think your husband's called to plant churches, but he doesn't. Well, bug him about it. You might be the means by which he plants a church. If your goal in life is to stay here at Grace Church for the rest of your life and just live out your days being a church attender, blah, 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 I don't want to pastor that church. I want to shepherd you. And if you do end up being the person who comes here and lives the rest of your days in this church, that is God's plan. I praise God for that, and I thank you for your faithfulness. And I'm going to encourage you to grow beyond just sitting in your seats. You've heard me preach my ambition. I'm talking to you about Paul's ambition to build a church, and you heard a few months ago my ambition, my personal ambition, to teach you the depths and the grandeur of the knowledge that is God. So if you are not called to plant or go or leave or build this kingdom, then don't think that sitting here on Sunday mornings will be a cakewalk for you. I am here to stir you to action, to call you to change, to teach you the depths of God's word, and that is my call. So there will be no, I come to church, I come here every week, I don't grow, and I just return, and blah, blah, blah. Because I want to plant churches. I want to build the kingdom. And more than that, Here's the reality, guys. I can't do it. I can't do it by myself. If I could do it by myself, you know who'd be here today? Just me, by myself. I'd have bought this building, paid for it myself, not put any chairs on, stood here and preached to myself, because who needs the church when I've got me? We both know, we all know that that's not true. God created the church as a body that works together. So let's work together. Let's build the kingdom. If your attitude about a planting a church in St. Croix Falls is, why would we do that? We're right here. Then you don't understand the kingdom. You don't get that the church, you don't get that there should be 50 churches between here and St. Croix Falls that are not existing right now. If your other attitude is, didn't we try that once? Tried to plant a church in St. Croix Falls back in the day. There was this guy who planted, I think he planted Hope Church, and then he ended up planting another church in St. Croix Falls and totally failed, and everyone's got this bad, sour taste in their mouth of church planting in St. Croix Falls. Well, get that taste out of your mouth. This is a totally different animal. So I'm asking several things from you today, and I'm going to close with this. Sorry that I did not get to the text. I didn't say, I think I got through the first paragraph of my sermon. I had no plans whatsoever to go off track, but so be it. Anyways, I'm going to ask a couple things of you today. Number one, build the kingdom. I mean, yeah, if you know a Christian who's looking for a church, they should, yes, invite them to church. Great, wonderful. I love that. That's beautiful. That's another person that we could share the gospel life with. We could, you know, engage with and help build the kingdom together. That's wonderful. You know who I want to see come through those doors? Two kinds of people. Those who walk in and go, I don't know what to do here. It was brought, a friend invited me. They don't know anything about church, they don't know anything about Jesus. And then I get to do what God has called me to do, which is the same calling as Paul, to preach the gospel. And I get to preach the gospel. And hopefully, they'll hear it and be saved. And we build the kingdom together. And the other kind of person I want to see walk through that door are those who have just recently seen that come in the door and they go, hey, I met, this guy or that lady this week, and they shared the gospel with me, and they told me to come to church. I believed and I accepted Jesus this week, and they told me to come to church. I'm laughing because I'm so excited, because the prospect of meeting someone like that makes me want to hug somebody right now. I want to meet that person next week and hug them and shake them and go, I'm so excited you're in the kingdom of God. Do you have any idea what this means? You get to spend eternity with Jesus. Your life has changed. All the bad stuff that's happened to you in your life has a purpose now. Its purpose is that it will all be washed away by the blood of Jesus, and you will spend eternity in his perfect joy and endless happiness. There's nothing that can bring you down now. I want to hug that person who gets that on a fresh new level. Because I want to be like that. I want that every day, and it's hard to ignite joy over and over again, and sometimes God delivers fresh believers who are boiling over in that joy to ignite the church. So, those are the kind of people I want to see come in this church. That's the kind of growth I want. That's when I say I want to see this church grow numerically, that's what I want to see. Not because I want more numbers, because I want the kingdom to grow. And why do I want the kingdom to grow? Because I want the kingdom to grow. Meaning, I want to plant churches. Well, if we just start planting churches out of this group, we will run out of people. We need more people. We need to share the gospel. We need to build the kingdom. That's part of my vision for this church. And it begins with you. Why do I want to build the kingdom? Why do I want to grow the church? Okay, I'll give you a little bit of the how. There's way more hows, right? The hows, like how to share the gospel, build relationships, speak the gospel truth, say it to them. I mean, there's lots of hows, but why? Because I was created for one primary purpose, and so are you, to glorify God. And one of the ways in which we glorify God is by building his kingdom. And heaven, with all its angels, and the presence of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who dwell perfectly in unity and love and holiness that is so profound that men who look upon it are blinded. That's the glory. That's the glory we want to project here on heaven. And we do that when we build the kingdom. I want to build churches. I want to plant churches. I want to send people out. I want to go to that West Lead team meeting and say, hey guys, it's been 3 years since I've been here, and we still haven't found a guy to plant a church in St. Croix Falls or Barron. In fact, at the last meeting, I did just that. I said, guys, what? Nothing's changed. So what are we going to do if nothing's changing? I said, number one, we need to pray more, and I don't know what the other solution is. And maybe this message is part of that solution. I want to go back to that meeting and say, God, other pastors, there's someone in our church who stepped up, and they think they're called by God to plant the church. Now, don't you dare step up unless you really are called, okay? It's not honorable to fill a calling that is not yours unless it's needed, but fulfill the calling that God calls you to. So, help me build the church. Plant churches. I want to plant churches. I want to build the kingdom. Not because, and I'm not saying I want to plant churches. I don't want to be like, hey guys, I led our church in like 10 church plants in the last 5 years or whatever. It's not about me. What I mean is I want to be a part of a body of people who plants churches. And there is already a church plant happening in Osceola. Do you guys know about this? There's a church plant in Osceola. I talked to them, the husband and wife. And I said, yes, you have my support to be a church plant. Not that they needed it, but I am in support of other churches being planted here that are not Grace Church. A high tide raises all ships. If they bring the gospel to Osceola and it ignites a revival in Osceola, that is good for the kingdom, regardless of its effect on Grace Church. So, doctrine matters, and I do stand with churches and don't stand with other churches based on what their doctrine is, but I will say I do love that churches are planting. Let's build the kingdom together. There are lost people who need Jesus. There are slaves who need to be freed. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I trust you this morning that this would make us a church that multiplies, or just kill us. Because being lukewarm just isn't enough. So grow us, please. Not numerically. Kingdom growth. Save lost people. Let us be part of that. For your glory and for their joy. Make that our ambition and our calling. Pray this in Jesus' name.